Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Calvary. If you happen to be a visitor this morning, we just want to say to you, Merry Christmas.
Oh my, what a change in weather. It's cold outside, but it's good to be inside where it's nice and warm today.
If you happen to be a first-time worshiper with us this morning, we would love for you to fill out that little envelope you received as you arrived. Don't feel like you need to put anything in it today, but we'd love for you to fill it out. Drop it in the offering basket as it comes by. That's how we get connected with people, and we'd love to get connected with you. We are in the midst of a worship series. We're in week three of a worship series that we've called The Almost Christian Things We Say. And we've been walking through a series of phrases or things that we as people of faith say, maybe at times of loss or in times when we want to bring comfort to people. But there are things that we say that don't always, well, they kind of leave a sour taste in our mouth if we really pause and think about them. And so we're gonna dive into another one of those phrases today and wonder together about how it is we talk about this faith that we share. Today, we have another installment. If you have been around Calvary for a while, you know that we're having conversation about renovating and expanding our church facility, our building. You can see in your bulletin a series of gatherings. We had one last night. We're having another one today. There'll be a gathering on Wednesday night and then again next Sunday. And these are opportunities for the team, the building planning team, to share the work that they've been up to over the last year, but also, and most importantly, to get feedback. One of the phrases that team has become very fond of is, we are one church, one big church, but we express the faith we share in many different ways. One church, many expressions. And so we want to hear from all those expressions. We want to hear from all of you. So please make it a point to join us for those planning sessions. Today, it'll be in the Svea Lounge, which is down the hall to the left. And if it fills up, don't worry. There are other opportunities, whether that be on Wednesday night or it be on next Sunday as well, to weigh in on that conversation. There's a unique opportunity this coming Wednesday from 4 to 8. We're having an open house. And so the building planning team will be here along with the financial feasibility team to sit down. If you'd like to have maybe a little more intimate conversation with the team to answer any questions, they'll be here for that. All right. Another announcement here. Cindy Wagner and Sharon Bridges this last year traveled to Kenya to work with the Daylight School. Sharon, could I have you stand? And Cindy, wave your hand. There we go. They traveled to Kenya and worked at a school there. And they're having a gathering next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock to share all about their story. I've seen their pictures. It's just amazing, the work that they did. But they want to talk a little bit about that mission and also share about a possible trip in the coming year if you'd like to be a part of that. So, again, you can grab Cindy or Sharon afterwards and talk a little bit more about that. All right, let's see. One last announcement. It is, of course, Veterans Day. And I had a grandfather who was in World War I. He drove a motorcycle. His job was to drive the orders to the front lines during World War I. And I had a grandfather in World War II as well. And today we remember those veterans. And so I would love for all veterans to please stand so we can recognize them today. Please stand. Thank you so much for your service to our country and to us as well. All right. I think that's enough for announcements today. I'm going to invite you at this time to please stand. Greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love.
begin our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and of all consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess together. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Hear the promise of forgiveness. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
For our Kyrie this morning, we will follow hymn 157. You can follow Nolan for the congregational part, and then we'll jump to hymn 167 after that.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord.
Throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord.
Join in praying together the prayer of the day. Gracious God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our hopes
fears, dreams, and desires. Now, God, help us to know you. Give us words to describe you that reflect your love for us and for all people. We pray this in your name. Amen.
You may be seated.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 46, and we read it responsibly. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day.
Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
At this time, I'm going to invite the youngsters to come forward for a special message just for you. Come on forward. Boys and girls, good morning. I want to start by asking you a question. Are there ever times where people tell you, you have to do this?
My parents.
Your parents. Oh, really? Like, what do they say you have to do?
Brush my teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Oh.
Pick up your toys. Oh, what else? Anything else you think of? Help them, right?
Be nice to your brother.
Be nice to your brother. That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. When people tell us we have to do something, how does that feel? It's kind of crummy, right? It kind of feels like you better or else.
Like a slave.
Like a slave. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But it feels like you have to. And sometimes I think when we have those moments where people say, you have to do this, how does it feel?
Horrible.
It feels like you're kind of tied up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like you're hemmed in, you're tied up, you have to. Well, here's what's kind of interesting. We're going to hear today, I'll talk in this sermon, is about rather than we have to, we have a God who's all about, you get to. You get to. Do this. I have to. Doesn't it feel better to do this? I get to.
Oi.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Leave it to the pastor, son. We're going to talk about that today, that we have a God who's not like this, you have to, but rather,
you get to,
huh? And I think that feels a whole lot better. You guys, I've got a sucker here for each of you, and so you can grab one of these, and as you grab a sucker and head back, the congregation can stay seated, and we're going to sing.
Maybe six.
Well, as we started the service, we're in the midst of this worship series, which is called The Almost Christian Things That We Say. And we've been talking about phrases that we as people of faith, phrases that sort of roll off our tongue, but when we pause for a moment to reflect on them, they sometimes leave a bit of a sour taste in our mouth. And so Pastor Nathan, 2 weeks ago, launched this series by talking about one of those phrases. We're going to put it on the screen here. God helps those who help themselves. And Nathan did such a wonderful job of reflecting on how that is the exact opposite of how we understand God to be. He talked about, it was Reformation Sunday, he talked about this guy named Martin Luther, who our denomination is named after, how Martin Luther, back in the 16th century, he talked about a thing called a theology of the cross, where we have a God who meets us not when we achieve or accomplish things, but God meets us when we can't help ourselves in our weakness. We have a God who in Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. And so this understanding of God as God helps those who help themselves is the exact opposite of the God we find in Scripture. Last week, we shift gears a little bit, and it was All Saints Sunday. And if you were here, we lit all kinds of candles in memory of people in our lives who have passed. And we took that opportunity to talk about those things that we say when loved ones lose people, when people pass in our lives. And so we say phrases like this at those times. We say things like, when a friend maybe has passed, we say, he's in a better place. And sometimes we get a little goofy with that. We say things like, well, Gertrude loved to square dance, and so Gertrude's now, she's passed, and she's on that great dance floor in the sky where the music never ends, right? We say he's in a better place. Or we put the onus for the loss on God. We say God needed another angel. And we talked about how all these phrases that we often say at times of loss, we say them to sort of avoid the pain and the sadness, to kind of get us past the pain and sadness. But we read how when Jesus lost one of his good friends, Lazarus, rather than saying one of these phrases, he's in a better place, Jesus, it says, he just wept. And so if we have a God who isn't afraid of sadness, who isn't afraid of weeping, maybe we as God's church shouldn't be afraid of sadness either. And so we talked about those phrases we say in the midst of grief. Today we're going to enter into a conversation about another one of these phrases that we as people of faith often sort of rolls off our tongue. And that phrase goes like this. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. As a way to get into that, I'm going to pull out my cell phone because if you have kids or grandkids, you know that kids love to play with your cell phone. And often my kids will do all kinds of goofy things with my phone when I'm not looking. They'll like change my name on the phone, you know. And there's this thing called Siri. And if you have an iPhone, Siri is sort of this voice-activated personal assistant on your phone. And Siri will answer questions for you. And my boys love to use Siri to kind of have fun. And so they'll do things like this. Siri, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Don't you have anything better to do?
I love it. The other thing they love to do is they love when I use Siri to make a phone call, but to a name that is maybe hard for Siri to pronounce. So listen carefully to this one. Siri, call Sandy Buckner.
Calling Sandy Buckner.
Bugner. Right? Oops. Sorry, Sandy. The other thing my boys like to do with this is sometimes play with the map. And so they'll say, Siri, give me directions to Valley Fair. Or, Siri, give me directions to the Sugar Shack. They've done this before. And then they sort of suggestively say, Dad, we should listen to Siri, right? But I was thinking about the map feature on our phones. So most of us at one time or another have used either a GPS or we've used Siri or we've used Google Maps to get us somewhere. We men would never admit this, but we have. We use this map feature. And one of the things I've realized about the map feature on either a GPS or Google Maps or whatever it is, that Siri only cares about getting me from here to there. Siri only cares about getting me from one spot to my destination. And what Siri does is Siri will give me the most direct route under the most ideal conditions, the quickest route to get me to where I want to go. What I've realized is that there really are no ideal conditions. And so sometimes this is a problem. For example, about 2 weeks ago, I made an annual trip to South Dakota to chase after those pretty birds in South Dakota. And we do this every year, and Saturday night came, and my boy and I, we hopped in our car to make the trip back here to Alexandria so I could be in church the next morning. It was late, and as we got in the car, we started heading north, and we were trying to get on I-29 to head up the interstate to get back here to Alexandria. But instead, Dad took a wrong turn, right, Lars? Dad took a wrong turn, and instead of getting onto I-29 heading north, I got onto I-90 heading east. And we got to a point where there was another exit, and I was going to get off and get around. And what was wrong, Lars? It was closed. Road construction. And then we got to the next exit. Road construction again. And I found myself, we were about 20 miles away from Sioux Falls now, and 20 miles away from I-29, and so I pulled out Siri, and I said, Siri, give us directions to Alexandria. And Siri obliged, except Siri doesn't care about the roads necessarily that she sends us on. And so we were traveling on the two-lane road through the middle of nowhere, southern South Dakota, to get us back here to Alexandria. We also realize Siri doesn't care if it's night or day, and driving on these little roads you've never been on before is a little spooky in the middle of the night in southern Minnesota. Siri also doesn't know about harvest season, that there are semis that are on the road all night long. Siri doesn't know about combines that pull dirt from the fields and creates mud on the roads and corn stalks everywhere. And we quickly realized that if we were going to take these back roads, it was going to take way longer than what Siri predicted. And so we deviated from Siri's plan, and we headed back a 20-mile detour from Siri's directions, and we got back on I-29. Well, I say all this because Siri doesn't care about what happens in the middle of your journey. Siri doesn't care about gravel roads, 8-lane highways. Siri doesn't know about harvest season. All Siri cares about is getting you to your destination. And I think about this when I hear this phrase, everything happens for a reason. You see, when we use this phrase, we're often using this phrase in times where we hit some obstacle in life. We lose a job, a marriage ends in divorce. I heard someone use this phrase the other day. The election didn't go how they wanted it to go, and so they threw their hands in the air and it said, well, everything must happen for a reason. It's all part of God's plan, I guess. Or on this Veterans Day, we remember that as a country, we send soldiers to war. And some of those soldiers don't come back. Everything happens for a reason, I guess. As I think about that phrase, everything happens for a reason. If that's so, then it seems to me that it implies that we have a God who's got our entire life laid out already. God knows the roadmap. God has a plan. Every moment of every day of every one of our lives is already determined. And you and I are simply kind of like puppets. We're just living out the plan God already has made for us. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is all-knowing. God knows every hair on your head. And God knows, in my case, when each of those hairs are going to fall out. God knows every step of the journey. And I don't know about you, but that's all fine and dandy, except for the fact that it seems to me that God is sort of like Siri then. That all God cares about is getting us to that final destination. And that God doesn't necessarily care so much about all the obstacles we're going to hit between here and there. And even worse yet, maybe God is the one who orchestrated all that pain that you and I go through. You see, when everything happens for a reason, God has it all laid out. And if you ask me, if God is the one who works that way, where all God cares about is getting us to that destination, and God doesn't care about the muck and the yuck and the pain that we experience in the midst of our lives, that makes for a really cruel God. In fact, if that's how God works, God stinks, if you ask me. I want to suggest today that God loves us way more than that. God loves us way more than everything happens for a reason. Now, bear with me for a minute. When our kids are little, your job is simply to try and corral them, right? So when they're little, you're constantly saying, they're reaching for the knife, and you say, no. They reach for the burner, you say, they put dirt in their mouth, you say, no, right? You say, no. You're constantly trying to control them, to have them do as you want. And so we lock them in car seats. We lock them in strollers. We lock them. What are those things, those bouncy things you'd hang from the door that are illegal now? Johnny jumpers, right? You stick them in there because you want to control them. But as they grow up, you start to loosen that control. You start to give them a little more freedom. I remember in fourth grade, my parents let me ride bike 4 miles to school all by myself. And then when they get to high school and they get this thing called the driver's license, we're all terrified when that happens. But then we do something really stupid. We hand over the second most expensive thing most of us will ever buy. We hand it over to a 16 or 17-year-old kid whose frontal cortex of their brain has yet to fully develop. We just hand it over, right? And we say, here you go. And why do we do that? Because we trust them. We love them. We hand them the keys. You see, I wonder if rather than having every moment of every day of all of our lives planned out, that God knows everything and we're just simply puppets walking through this life, what if God is sort of like a parent who says, I love you too much. I'm giving you the keys. Those choices you make from day to day, they're actually your choices. They haven't been predetermined. I'm giving you the keys. I mean, what if everything doesn't happen for a reason because God loves us way more than that? So much so that God hands us the keys and gives us the freedom to choose as we want. The Bible talks about this again and again, that we have a God who wants for us freedom from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end. In the book of Genesis, from the very beginning, God created Adam, and we hear some words. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You get to choose what you're going to eat. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. Well, there's a consequence to your action, Adam, but you get to choose. Whatever you want, you get to do it. You are free. Later in the Old Testament, in Joshua, God has led God's people from through the Exodus back to the Promised Land. Joshua leads God's people across the Jordan River into that land of Cana, the land that God promised. And when they get there, Joshua draws all the people together, all the tribes he gathers together, and he says these words here. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestor worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now read this with me. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But here's the deal. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Even faith. God says, you get to choose my people. I'm not going to force you to do what I want you to do. And finally, Paul in the New Testament, he's trying to explain to the people of Galatia who this God is in Jesus Christ. And he talks all about freedom. It says, it is for
freedom
that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be
free.
But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You see, God could have made us and created us in such a way that we do exactly what God wants us to do all the time. God could have made us in such a way that we're simply puppets in God's world. But God loved us more than that. You see, I think God created this world and everything that's in it, and then God created you and me, and God looked at us and God loved us so much that God had this blind love for us, this blind trust, this blind faith in us, that God was willing to hand over the keys. That God didn't predetermine everything we would do in this life, but instead God gave us the ability to choose, gave us freedom. Now, there's a problem with that, of course, because you live in this world and you know that bad things sometimes happen to really great people. When all of us have the freedom to choose as we will, sometimes we face the consequences of our own actions. And sometimes we face the consequences of somebody else's actions. There are things like wars. There's pain that we go through. There are accidents that happen. There are things we don't understand, like cancer and diseases. We put houses in forests where we know there are going to be forest fires. We build homes on ocean fronts where we know eventually there's going to be a storm. You see, when we have the freedom to choose, the freedom to make our own decisions in this world, sometimes it can be hard. That's the one thing about this freedom that God gives us that's really hard for us. But here's the deal. God could have created us in a way that we always do what God wanted us to do. But God loves us more than that. So much more than that. That God created us and sent us into this world and handed us the keys. Does God look down sometimes with grief? When we do things God doesn't want us to do, you bet. But God allows it out of love. God could have created us in such a way that we did at all times everything that God wanted us to do. But instead, out of love, God gave you and me this unbelievable freedom. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you know that there are times in our lives where we throw our hands in the air and we don't know exactly what to say, and so we say things like, everything happens for a reason, I guess. But God, you love us more than that. You could have created us in such a way that every moment of every day of every one of our lives was predetermined, but instead you love us way more than that. You give us this unlimited freedom. And so God, we give thanks for that freedom you give us. God, help us as we navigate this world to make choices and to live lives that somehow reflect your will for us. God, we give thanks for that incredible blind faith you have in us. And we pray this all in your name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Stand and affirm together our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, as we share our prayers of the church, I will end each one of the petitions by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, there are some in our world who seem to believe that tragedies, mass shootings, devastating storms, and corrupt leaders all happen for some bigger plan and purpose that you have for us. Loving God, help us remember that in Jesus' death and resurrection, that you have defeated the powers of evil, sin, death, and corruption. Help us remember that in the midst of this fallen and sinful world where tragedies often happen, that your will, your purpose and your plan is one of love, healing, forgiveness, and hope for your creation. That in you there is victory over all that is dark and troubling in this world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving Jesus, you taught us by your example that we live in a sinful and unfair world where even you were abused and killed on a cross. Loving Jesus, empower us to follow your example of doing whatever we can to help one another and to help make this world a better place for everyone. Empower us to love and provide help to the hurting, to work for justice and peace for those who are discriminated against, to provide welcome to those who are shunned and rejected. Teach us that your eternal will and plan is love, peace, harmony, and care for all God's creation. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving God, on this Veterans Day and Veterans Weekend, we remember with gratitude all those who have served and who presently serve in America's armed forces. Loving God, we thank you for their service, their dedication, and their willingness to give up their lives for our freedoms. Bless each veteran and their families with your love, protection, and care. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving Jesus, you taught us that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are present with them. Loving God, teach us that we can do and accomplish so much more for your kingdom when we work together with others. Empower us to surrender and rely on each other so that we might be the kind of team and support-centered community that you have called us to be. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, your word of truth tells us that like a body needs all of its parts working in sync together. In the same way, your church is a body which needs all of its parts and members working together as one to fulfill Christ's mission. Holy Spirit, unite each one of us as one in your love and your grace so that we can do and accomplish so much more in your kingdom together. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Today, as we share in taking the offering, we thank the bell players for the special music today. Again, we just thank each one of you for your generosity and your support in making Calvary a place that is a place of outreach, a place of love and care that can do so much more as we work together in God's kingdom. So thank you very much. You may be seated. Let us stand. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it for the remembrance of me." Let us all unite together in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. You
shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. I will come.
us stand. The body and blood of our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. Now as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to fill you with his love and his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Folks, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.